Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Fred Sievert. He is a speaker, an author, and he's the former president of New York Life Insurance Company. He retired early at age 59 and decided to take on a little further education, went to one of those fundamentalist schools that are so common in the Northeast, Yale, and he received a master's degree there. He remains actively engaged in his greatest passions, which include speaking and writing about his faith, mentoring young executives, and serving as a lay leader of his church and on the boards of several organizations and missions that are well aligned with his beliefs and values. Fred and his wife have 5 grown children, 3 grandchildren, and they reside on Cape Cod, East Falmouth, Massachusetts. I used to live in Chatham, Massachusetts, down a little further out, sticking out a little further into the ocean. But Fred, we want to welcome you to the broadcast today.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate being on your show.
Now, East Falmouth, if I recall correctly, that's not a long ways after we cross the bridge, is that right?
Yeah, if you go across the Bourne Bridge, it's about 9 miles south.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful part of the country.
It is.
That's great. We have many cherished memories and many cherished friends from our years on Cape Cod. Now, you have just released a wonderful new book called Grace Revealed. Tell us about the stories of the grace of God in this book.
Yeah, sure, Jim. Be happy to. It's really the genesis of the book was after I wrote my first book, God Revealed. I had the pleasure of speaking to a lot of groups, Bible studies, book clubs, large conventions, other groups, and have a pretty strong social media presence. So I really met a lot of people following the first book that really inspired me and deeply enriched my own faith through their stories of God's grace. And I decided to write the second book because I thought their stories could touch and impact many people's lives. So the book itself is organized according to certain crises that people face.
Yes.
The subtitle is Finding God's Strength in Any Crisis. And so there are stories in there about people who suffered from physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, from various forms of addiction, from emotional issues, depression, PTSD, career-related challenges, family issues, loss of loved ones, navigating through those kinds of grievings.
Yeah.
And I found them to be very, very inspiring. They typically followed a pattern of a person being in crisis, ultimately receiving God's grace through their reliance on prayer and scripture and on grace itself. And then in many, if not all cases, they had such gratitude and love for what they had been through in God's grace that they returned that grace to others in the form of enduring Christian service. So really some very compelling stories that I thought the readers could benefit from significantly. And also, Jim, none of us are immune from these kinds of crises.
Amen.
I think it's safe to say that every one of us either has gone through one of these experiences or knows a close family member or friend who's currently going through it or going through it in the future.
Amen.
And Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, too often people will turn only to medical treatment, if at all, to medical treatment, and they don't turn to the one place where they can really find relief, and that is through God's grace and through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. I love the title of one of the stories in your book is How Cancer Saved My Life. You know, that's the kind, and I know folks like that. That is the way that God brings people to their knees. And it's not because he's cruel. It's not because he wants to give us a bad time. I have a dear friend now in heaven who is a medical doctor, and he was a tremendous surgeon. And he said, if I told someone that I was going to cut them open, they wouldn't take that as encouragement unless they knew they needed surgery. he said, you have to receive the bad news before you can believe the good news. And it's true that all of us have a problem, but sometimes it takes a crisis in order to bring that into focus and cause us to realize we really aren't God, and we're not even a close second. And we can't run this universe. We can't run our own lives. And we need a Savior.
Exactly, yeah. And then these are clear examples of that. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, these are those rare examples of people who, you know, recovered from a crisis and you know, now they're talking about their faith. And I say, no. What you don't understand is it's their faith that brought them through this, okay?
Amen.
It's their faith in God, the belief in Christ, and the unmerited gift of God's grace that brought them through. Otherwise, why would they turn and decide to return that grace to others with a lifelong Christian service in many forms that you read about in the book?
Yes. Everybody who has really had a powerful impact on my life is somebody who's been through great suffering. And it's not because I made that a requirement. It's just that's where God shines. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said that he rejoiced in suffering, and he said, because when I'm weak, then he's strong. It's in the midst, right. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And that's, again...
Yeah, that's one of the... in the book, there are a number of scriptural references for these people whose stories I tell. Mm-hmm. All of them relied, to some extent, and to a major extent, on Scripture.
Yeah.
And there's... If you read the book, your readers or your listeners read the book, they'll find that there's some redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I left that redundancy in there on purpose because I talk about how each person relied on certain scriptures during their crisis, and some of them just appeared many, many times. One, Philippians 4:13.
Yes.
I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
Yes.
That was in many spots throughout the book. And I left it in there on purpose because I wanted people to know you can rely on God's word to get you through these crises.
Amen. I would say there have been many men and women that God has used in my life and in order to point me to him and encourage me in him. And three of the women that I've had the privilege of knowing and spending time with and they've been used by God to speak his truth to me. Corrie ten Boom, who, of course, is now in heaven, and Elizabeth Elliott, and Johnny Erickson Tata, who, thank God, is still with us, but who has endured so much, including having become a quadriplegic in her teens. Johnny is most recently a cancer survivor. And, you know, I remember when Johnny was... It was announced that she was battling cancer, and I just thought, "Oh Lord, really? I mean, is that necessary?" It just seemed like she'd already had enough. But my wife and I have done 14 books together, And the one, I mean, we've had a lot of positive response to each of them, but the one that consistently outsells the others is titled Weathering the Storms. And the reason that that's the most popular is because everybody, everywhere, is either going through a storm or knows somebody who's going through a storm.
Absolutely.
So I, hey,
you know what we did in this book, Jim? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
Each one of the stories, I actually hired a researcher for this book. And the reason I hired a researcher was I wanted, since we were talking about a variety of crises that mm-hmm. people go through, I wanted the researcher to determine for me the prevalence of some of these crises so that people, when they first start to read one of the stories, they realize you're not alone.
Yes.
You're not alone. This is very prevalent. And what surprised even me in that process was the chapter I do on sexual abuse.
Yes.
It's truly astounding, the statistics on the number of women in particular mm-hmm. who've been abused as children. I mean, there's a study that was done in 2013 that suggests 42 million Americans experienced sexual abuse as children, and I quoted in the book. And if you think about that, that's like 10 to 15% of the population. Mm-hmm. And that same study indicated, or the same website that references the study, indicated that something like 60% of those who are abused don't even report it.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, the reality is 20 to 30% of people, and I'll tell you what has validated that statistic for me, and that is I've done a lot of presentations on my first book. I've done presentations talking about this second book. But I'm telling you, Jim, every time I have done this mention of a person who's gone through sexual abuse as a child, someone in the group, whether it's a small study group, a Bible study, a sermon, someone comes up to me afterward and says they went through the same thing.
Amen.
And that just tells me, think about it, Jim, For every 1,000 listeners you've got listening to this show, there's probably 100 of them who've gone through that experience.
Yes.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote the book. I wrote the book so they know they're not alone.
Amen.
And there's a path to recovery that involves faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. My wife and I have a ministry called Wares Valley Ranch, and we serve kids from all over the U.S. who have a problem in the home they didn't create. And every time we've checked the stats on the kids here, it has been well over 50% of the kids who come here have been sexually abused in the past. And
it is just
heartbreaking on the one hand to see the things that they've been through and the scars that have been left emotionally and sometimes physically by the things that they've endured. But it is so thrilling to see that our Lord Jesus, who loves these kids and who is alive forever, is right there to meet with them, to heal them, to teach them that they can trust his love, that things don't have to be the way they have been in the past, and that these kids not only learn to trust Jesus, but they learn to forgive people who've wronged them. There's a world of difference between forgiveness and trust. Those are not the same thing. And when these kids understand, I don't have to trust that person, I don't have to let that person do this again, but I can forgive that person and pray that God would have mercy on that person and bring that person to repentance. It is liberating and healing for those kids.
Yeah, and a couple of the stories in my book are about women who went through sexual abuse as a child, and it wasn't until years later that they forgave the abuser, that they were able to forgive themselves.
Yeah.
And many, talking about scriptures that are often quoted, with respect to abuse, there's one of the Psalms, 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A lot of these victims repeated that verse over and over again, because of the abuse they went through, and also verses about forgiveness as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that any of us can make it through this life without pain. We live in a broken world, and we are broken people. But it is so wonderful to know that God's grace is greater than our sin, and God's grace is greater than our suffering, and He meets us at our point of deepest need. I noticed that your book is subtitled 19 Stories of the Transforming Grace of God. Now, I sort of puzzled over that. I thought, you know, surely you could have come up with one more, make it 20, nice round number. And then it occurred to me, no, that's genius, actually, because you could have, well, no, I'll tell you it is, and here's why, and I want our listeners to know this. He could have come up with 25 stories. He could have come up with 30 stories. He could have come up with 50 stories, but he didn't do filler. These are 19 great, powerful stories that illustrate the grace of God. And so this is not fluff. This is not waste. This is 19 stories of the transforming grace of God during times of human struggle, shared in grace revealed, finding God's strength in any crisis. Folks, if you are going through a crisis today, you don't have to go it alone. God has promised that He will never leave you or forsake you. If you trust in Him, you will know His grace and His strength even in the darkest times. Now, Fred, obviously you are not just an observer. You're not just somebody who knows a little bit about suffering because you've met some people who've suffered. I haven't been through what many of the people I know have been through, but obviously in your own life, God had to speak to you through coming to the realization that you needed a Savior. Tell us a little bit of your story, if you would.
Sure. It's told more thoroughly in my first book, God Revealed, the subtitle of which was Revisit Your Past to Enrich Your Future. And that book really was, I don't even remember how many stories it wasn't a nice round number either. It was maybe 31 stories of my own personal encounters with God and with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it started really, my strong faith began with an experience I had as a 12-year-old. And what's interesting about my story is I wasn't really raised in a practicing Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
My parents talked about the Golden Rule and the Ten Commandments, but we didn't go to church that often. I think it actually enhances the power of my testimony because I came to my beliefs, you know, through friends, through acquaintances, through my own kind of realization of God's existence. And the first story in that first book is called My Mystical Adolescent Experience When I Was 12 Years Old, and I won't recount the whole thing to you, but basically I was home alone in bed contemplating sort of these tough questions that at the time I didn't realize were theological questions, like who is God? Has He always been there? Who's this guy Jesus? Is He really divine? You know, what about infinity, and what about the creation of the universe, and all those kinds of things. And I felt, what I could best describe as an out-of-body experience, where I felt like I was lifted up out of the bed in God's arms, who was embracing me and telling me, I am real, you're going to learn more about me, yes, I do exist, and yes, Jesus is my son. And, you know, it was from that moment on that I had this enduring faith, very strong faith, with very little doubts later on in life, and a desire to find out more about this man, Christ. And so from that point forward, where at that point I really hadn't accepted Christ as my Savior, but I had a burning desire to learn more because I really felt that God has touched me. I didn't see God. I didn't audibly hear His voice. I didn't get a vision of Christ, but I just knew there was a God. And from that point forward, I really, you know, dedicated a lot of time to studying and understanding the Lord. But, you know, we all go through crises. I mean, I started out as a teacher. I had a lot of financial difficulty. I remember talking to a lawyer about declaring bankruptcy. Even in my job, you indicated up front, I ultimately became president of New York Life. Even in my job, there were times I thought I might get fired, that I had a number of failures that I certainly learned from, but didn't expect to get promoted year after year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always relied on the Holy Spirit. I relied on the presence of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I brought God into the workplace.
Praise God.
You know, so many people, you know, view worship as a Sunday-only activity.
Yeah.
But, you know, I it's not an exaggeration to say I prayed 10 to 15 times a day. It was mm-hmm. never about getting a promotion, making a sales or a profit goal, mm-hmm. or getting, you know, getting a bonus for the year. It was never that. It was always about, you know, help me to be a role model to my employees. Help me to reflect Christ in my behavior.
Praise
help
God.
Me to make the right decisions. You know, guide me, direct me. And I trusted that the Holy Spirit was, in fact, guiding me.
Mm-hmm.
And that made all the difference. Despite, you know, we all go through loss of family members, those kinds of grieving situations, and other issues. But, you know, I always felt God was there. The Lord was, through the Holy Spirit, guiding me and protecting me and moving me forward. But, you know, even after that long business career,
mm-hmm.
And what arguably many would say was very successful,
mm-hmm.
I now view what I'm doing, what I'm really viewing my business career as a mere prologue to what I'm doing today.
Amen.
And that speaking and writing about my faith.
Yep.
And, you know, bringing other people to know the Lord. This is my calling.
Yes.
And, you know, I didn't really realize it until I retired early, went to divinity school,
mm-hmm.
You know, and did a deep dive on the Old Testament, the New Testament, and really had a marvelous experience despite being at a very liberal divinity school.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience, you know, and I grew closer to the Lord and stronger in my faith through it. And now, I tell you, I couldn't be happier, healthier and younger. I feel younger now, even though I retired 10 years ago.
That's great. That is great. Well, I am very grateful for the way that you're using your talents and your training and your contacts and all that God has given you in order to advance the truth of His grace. You talk about three phases that people go through typically, and that is experiencing a crisis, receiving grace, and returning grace to others. And the fact is, if you really experience God's grace in the crisis, you will share that with others. The Bible says He comforts us so that we will be able to comfort others with the comfort with which we've been comforted.
And that's the power, as you referred to earlier, there's great power in spiritual sharing.
Amen.
No question about it. And that was my first book. The second book is about people in crisis.
Yeah.
You know, the power of God's grace.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, brother, for sharing. And thank you for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, Jim.
You bet.
Thank you for your ministry. This is marvelous outreach.
God bless you, sir. Take care.
God bless you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.